There's always hope. There is always hope because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hope gives us an opportunity to imagine something that is better than it is right now. If we have something to look forward to, we have hope. Do you have hope today? Leadership expert John Maxwell, he says that this is really important. He says, if you have something to look forward to, you'll stay in the game a little longer. If you're looking forward to something, you'll stay in the game a little longer. The problem is, right now, it's hard to stay in the game when it seems like hope is in such short supply. You know, our world has become unpredictable, and what once seemed so very certain is now rather volatile. What we thought we could count on has shifted and it's changed. And what we maybe were once looking forward to actually seems like an impossibility now. And now, when we need it the most, it seems like hope is the most elusive. So what about you? Do you have something to look forward to? You know, the women that we're about to hear about in the Gospel of Luke certainly had to be struggling to find hope on their way to the tomb. Hope in Jesus Messiah only 3 days earlier had seemed so certain, but now everything had changed. They believed he lay dead in a tomb. And what did they have to look forward now? What was going to keep them in the game as followers of Jesus? In other words, was there anything for them to hope in? It seemed, certainly, that hope was elusive. So let's look at hope through another example. When we live here in the Upper Midwest, April seems to be a season that inspires hope. Let me share why. We all think spring should be here, right? The calendar says spring should be here. But we see in this picture, right? Yep. There we go. This is North Dakota this week. So it still feels a lot like winter outside. It's still cold. It's still rather nasty. Yet adversity can actually inspire hope. Even in the present circumstances, we hope for what we know is coming. So with each passing day, the sun stays out a little longer. The birds start singing a little earlier in the morning. The snow starts to melt a little quicker, unless you're up there in North Dakota. And we are a little more certain that next week could be the week that it all changes, right? It could be the week that it warms up. So we are hoping, but just not quite yet. Our hope for warmer weather, however, is alive within us. We expect it to come. So how do you know that this is true? Because we replay it in our minds over and over and over again. You know, we think about the ways we're going to go out and enjoy the Northland when it warms up. So we can go outside and enjoy it, bring out our grills and start grilling, or we can clean off the patio and get the furniture out and lounge in the sunshine. Remember that? Ride a bike, go for a walk and not freeze. You could play baseball or softball practice outside instead of indoors. Could till the garden, maybe smell the dirt, plant some things, fish in a t-shirt, just open the windows and let the fresh air in. Take a deep breath. Do you smell it? And certainly in our area, a huge hope is to start getting in the fields, start digging the ground, start planting the seeds. We live with this growing expectation that the warm weather is coming. We've experienced it. We know what it's like, and we are looking forward to it again. So let me ask you, what if you walked out the door today, and instead of 30 degrees like when we walked in, all of a sudden it's 75? What if in this next hour, the temperature has shot up, sun came out, it was just gorgeous, just beautiful? What would your plans shift for the day? What would you do? If you're online, go ahead and share. If the temperature shot up to 75 today, write in the comment, what would you be doing right now? And turn to someone beside you and tell them, if it's 75 today, what would you be doing? Go ahead, take a moment and tell someone. What would you do? All right, I see some smiles on your faces. That's good. So that future expectation that you feel, that anticipation that you're sharing your what ifs, that's hope. That's hope. Hope, this expectation for something better. And it reminds us that our expectation grows as we get closer to the reality. If you have something to look forward to, you'll stay in the game a little longer. Now, that works for weather in Minnesota because we know eventually it's going to come. The closer we get to summer, the more it's going to warm up. It's just a matter of time. But what happens when hope isn't that certain? What happens when we can't find something to look forward to? When everything we wanted doesn't turn out? What happens when things seem to, like they don't get better? How do we stay in the game a little longer then when hope is lost? You know, this is crucial. Because if we can't find this sustaining hope, then life loses its expectation that the future is better. Things are going to get better. And if we lose that expectation, it's game over. So we need, in light of all of this, we need hope. And our greatest source of hope is the resurrection. And hope grows when we embrace the resurrection. I'm going to say that again. When we embrace the resurrection, hope grows. So for the disciples, hope had been crushed in the crucifixion. You know, it was beyond their thinking that they'd ever draw close to Jesus again. But on that first Easter morning, something changed as they got closer to the tomb. So we're going to go to the Bible here as it describes this completely unexpected event that takes place. And it's where the disciples find their way back to hope. It starts out on first verse of chapter 24, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking spices that they had prepared. So a little background on this is that on Friday afternoon, the body was taken down from the cross. It was laid in the tomb, but wrapped in linen, but because it was the Sabbath, it was becoming the Sabbath, they couldn't finish the burial preparations. So they just sealed the tomb, the women went home and waited for the Sabbath to be over. And then when it was finished, they went back to the tomb to complete this burial preparation. They had hope, I think, in that moment, though I don't really think it's something that they really had much to look forward to. Their hope was simple. It was just this, that they actually would find a body and give those last burial preparations to honor Jesus. So they acted on it. And I think this is really crucial. This is important for us. The Bible says that faith without deeds is dead. I think it follows that hope without action is a false hope. In other words, no matter how little our hope is, if we don't act on that hope, it really isn't hope at all. It's just unfulfilled hope. You know, I have hope that I get to plant a garden in the community garden again this spring. But, you know, in order for that to become a reality, I have to act on that hope. I need to rent a plot. I need to buy some seeds. I need to dig the dirt and, you know, actually get at it. So hope has to be locked in with action in order for it to take effect. So what does that mean for us? Well, if we have hope for reconciliation with someone, then it means that we have to take a step of reconciliation. We have to meet that person where they're at. If we have hope for healing, we need to take some step toward finding that healing. If we have hope for someone else to come to faith and flourish in this life that God has given us, then we need to take the bold step of talking about our faith and inquiring about theirs and then listening to what God is doing in their lives. So acting on our hope gives us an opportunity to imagine something better than it is right now. It's having something to look forward to, something that keeps us in the game a little longer. So why does that matter? Because as a Jesus follower, no matter how bad it gets, we believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The women discovered this as they took their step of hope. They went to the tomb. They hoped to find the body. They hoped to do their last act to honor Jesus, but they found something completely unexpected instead. So as we read the scripture, it says they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." I invite you to read that last line with me. Ready? He is risen from the dead. Preachers talk about finding the power in the text, finding that place where it builds tension, where it's shocking, where something's surprising. And then when you find it, camp out there. I think in the whole Bible, this is the text. This is the verse right here. He is risen from the dead. This verse actually changes everything. This is unexpected, right? It has tension. I mean, what does follows with this? It's like that's impossible. So it's shocking. Because now if he doesn't stay dead, what does that actually mean? It's the foundation of our faith as Jesus followers. There wouldn't be any Jesus followers if this passage wasn't in the Bible. They would just have simply been historical people who followed a rabbi who then died and was buried, and they would have been lost in history. But this is the proclamation of our faith then and right now. He is risen from the dead. So this one statement, it defines our opportunity to imagine something better. Think about it. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, then what's possible? Imagine what could be. If Jesus is not dead, if he is risen, death has been defeated for all of us. And after years of reflecting on all of what the resurrection meant, the Apostle Paul, he writes this to the church. He says, "Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life." And these are powerful words. It says we all die, right? We die because we're human beings, like the first Adam. And just like Adam, sin's consequence of death comes upon us. Our grandparents die. Our parents die. We die. Our children die. Our grandchildren die. Our friends die. Our enemies die. Everyone dies. So whether death comes too early or too late, whether it comes tragically or peacefully in our sleep, whether life is taken by war or accident or murder or disease or old age, death is final. And death takes away hope. If we think about it, you know, in a hospital when someone dies, you know, especially when we watch on TV, there's always someone there who pronounces the death, the time of death. It's like, that's it. There is no more that can be done. The Apostle Paul said, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be pitied more than anyone in the world. What he means is that if our hope in this life just ends in death, and if that's all there is, then what do we have to look forward to? In the end, nothing. Just death. And if that's it, there would be no expectation that the best is yet to come. But that's not what the end is. The apostle writes, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be pitied more than the world. But in fact, he says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And that is why we're here today, because the tomb is empty, because Christ has been raised. Death is defeated and Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And the resurrection empowers us then to look forward to what's coming. It keeps us in the game a little longer because it inspires our hope for the future, hope that the best is still yet to come. And like the woman in the tomb, it's hard to wrap our minds around a reality of what happened there. The tomb was empty. There was no body. And then two heavenly beings appeared and say that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And just to be sure, What exactly the Bible is saying is that the resurrection means something very specific in the language of Scripture. And this is important for us to understand. It's not a spiritual raising without a body. It's not a dead body going up to heaven. It's not an out-of-body experience like we might hear of someone who died and went to heaven and then came back to life. That's not what this is talking about in the Bible. It's a very specific understanding of a physical body that has been dead for 3 days, whom the women at the tomb actually expected to find and bury. And it's a body that is raised from death and is alive again. So it's a new life. Jesus literally died. He was dead. And he is now resurrected and alive again. I started today describing hope. Hope in the weather getting warm. And I think that's kind of exciting to think about, isn't it? And usually it helps us all get thinking about it being nice outside. I'm guessing that you did think about it because it's something that we all want. But warm weather is nothing compared to the resurrection. Getting out to play ball or go fishing or planting corn, it's nothing compared to a resurrection. And think about what that means. Death is not the end. The grave is not final. And all the people we said goodbye to over the years, and I think about my dad or my sister, we all have those people. They will not remain dead in the grave forever. And Jesus isn't just a historical figure, a good teacher to pass on good news. Jesus is alive right now, and he inspires hope for things to be better. Because the grave is no longer the end, it is only the beginning of a new life to come. The resurrection changes our outlook on life. In that moment, the women encountered the empty tomb. Their plans changed. The messengers, they continued with their message. In the scripture, they said, "Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home wondering what had happened. The resurrection is so inconceivable, I think that we kind of gloss over it. We don't really know how to take it all in. It's hard to grasp. When we think about Peter going to this empty tomb and looking in, and he wondered, he pondered, he just didn't get it. He couldn't fathom this idea that the Jesus that he saw die on the cross was actually alive. So he puzzled. But yet, inside of that puzzling, hope is alive. And Peter eventually does meet the risen Jesus in the upper room, and he goes from wondering to following again, and ultimately to dying for the gospel, because he looked forward to what was better, the best was that was yet to come. And so, like Peter, when we embrace the resurrection, hope grows within us. When hope begins to grow within us, we begin to have an expectation of life that is better, of the better things to come. And so when things in our life begin to turn upside down, when we face struggles and difficulties that we don't know how to handle, we can walk through them with hope that no matter what, no matter what happens, the best is still yet to come. It keeps us in the game, not just a little longer, but to the very end, when we will experience our own resurrection. For everyone, the scripture says, who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. And that is the good news of Easter. We have hope today because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the hope of Easter. And Lord, I pray for each of us here today, anyone who is struggling to find hope, Lord, to grab on to something that will keep them in the game just a little bit longer. Lord, for anyone here who is struggling to find hope, I pray that you will flood them with your presence right now. Just like in the upper room when you appeared to the disciples, may you appear to us, Lord, in the midst of our struggles and anxiety. And fill us, Lord, with the hope of new life in you. Fill us, Lord, with the hope and expectation that the best truly is yet to come. And Lord, help us to hang on just a little bit longer, Lord, to the very end when we will see you face to face. Lord, that is our hope by faith in you. And so if anyone here today would like to renew their faith in Jesus or does not yet know Jesus, I invite you to trust in him, to put your hope in him, to say, Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I know that you died on the cross. I believe you were raised from the dead. Thank you for dying for me and forgiving me. Fill me with your spirit and the new life that I may live in the hope of the resurrection for now and eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.